It's Thursday. It's about 3:30, and Aaron Keen from WFPL News is here to talk about the latest and greatest in the arts community right here in the River City. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Danielle. Hi.
What is coming up?
Okay, so two plays are closing this weekend, and you're going to want to catch them before they're gone. Sarah Rule's Dead Man's Cell Phone is up. Theater 502 is producing that. It's a fantastic production, and it's in the Barron's Theater, that tiny little theater designed for magic in the Whiskey Row Lofts. Dead Man's Cell Phone is a play about, it opens, a woman is sitting in a cafe, a phone is ringing and ringing and ringing, and she can tell it's coming from the table opposite her, but the man just sits there. He's not answering his phone. Eventually, she can't stand it anymore. She gets up and she answers his phone. And as she's answering his phone and taking a message, she realizes the man is dead. And she keeps his phone and then sort of gets sucked and entangled into his personal life, his professional life, and his afterlife. Yeah,
wow.
It's a great production too. A really intriguing, interesting play.
Okay, that's Theater 502.
Yes.
Right? Okay. What's next?
Neil LaBute's Reasons to Be Pretty is also closing this weekend at the Bardstown Theater, in the theater upstairs from the restaurant. This is, you know, it's in some ways it's a classic Neil LaBute play, in that there's a brutal male character who is kind of awful to everyone. It opens on a fight, a big argument between a boyfriend and a girlfriend that is just vicious. So it kind of starts at a 10, you know, as far as energy level goes, and kind of goes from there. But in a lot of ways, it's also a bit of a softer direction for Neil LaBute. Like, there's a redemptive arc in the end for the main character. He's written a sequel that's actually up off Broadway in New York now, that kind of follows these folks later. So this is really about Reasons to Be Pretty. It's about two couples in their 20s who are, you know, it sort of various states of connection and disconnection. And one of the central questions of the play is, what is physical beauty worth? Like, what is the currency there? And should that matter more or less than other things in our lives?
Two heavy productions, it sounds like.
Yeah, but they're both also really funny and really enjoyable.
Okay.
So
good.
Yeah, they both closed this weekend.
So we have Theater 502 and
the Bardstown Theater.
Okay, great. What else should we be doing this weekend?
Well, the Kentucky Museum of Art and Craft is opening a new exhibit this weekend. It's called The Seven Borders, and it focuses on mapping Kentucky's regional identity, sort of in context with the seven states that border Kentucky. So if you're counting, that's Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia.
I always forget about Missouri because it's so little.
It is, but I'm from that part of Kentucky where, you know, our media market includes Missouri and Illinois and Tennessee and Kentucky. It's all that weird little western tip down there. So they're taking a cue from 20th century regionalist painters like Grant Wood. They're investigating the concerns of a new regionalism, all of the artists in this exhibit. And they're sort of engaging in the cultural and political way with their landscapes. And so so this will be The Seven Borders. So Kentucky artists in conversation with artists from all these different states as well.
Very cool. And that's at the Kentucky Museum of Art and Craft. It's downtown, right?
It is. It's on Main Street, right there around near 21C and all that sort of Museum Row, as we say.
Okay. Museum Row. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of museums, we have a new, a newly appointed executive director for the SPED. I'll let you pronounce his name so that we can all get it right. And then tell me what you think about him.
Well, it's Guylain Dumière.
Okay.
And he is an energetic guy. He just celebrated his 45th birthday. So he's, I guess, I don't know if that's kind of on the young side for a museum director, but he seems like he's got a lot of energy. Met him at the press conference on Tuesday, where the SPED announced his appointment. He's coming to us from Oklahoma, where he was the director of the Fred Jones Jr. Museum of Art at the University of Oklahoma. And before that, he was with the DeYoung Museum in San Francisco. He also has a background in the fine auction houses. He's worked for Sotheby's and for Christie's. He's an expert in 18th and 19th century European decorative arts, but at some point had a sort of you know, one of those epiphanies where mm-hmm. he decided he really, that connecting people in an educational manner was something that he was very interested in pursuing. And so he took a kind of a turn in his career and went into museum work.
Mm-hmm. And do you think he's a good pick?
You know, I do. I do. I mean, it's hard to say until you see somebody in their role because, you know, the speed in a lot of ways is different from the Fred Jones and et cetera. And I think every time somebody moves into a new institution, then they're moving into a whole different culture, mm-hmm. so to speak. But he's a proven fundraiser. And although the speed, you know, has exceeded their capital campaign to build their new building, the life of a museum, mm-hmm. you know, the life of museum fundraising never stops. He joked at the press conference that, you know, the last two museums that he's worked for, he's supervised major renovations and expansion construction projects. So this is, at least for the next 3 years, mm-hmm. a very good position for somebody like him to be mm-hmm. in, because he's experienced with this. But at the same time, he's also had to raise the money for those. So coming in where the money's already raised,
the work's already been done in that regard,
right? Yeah. But he's proven that he can raise money for those kinds of projects. But also, you know, more than that, that sort of behind the scenes thing, he seems like a really fun face of mm-hmm. the museum. And so I hope that they're going to put him out there front and center. You know, he's passionate, visibly passionate mm-hmm. about his work and about art and about connecting the community with the institution. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, he's going to be, because he comes from most recently from a university museum environment, that he where he did a whole lot of work to create a stronger connection between the University of Oklahoma and the Fred mm-hmm. Jones Jr. I think he's going to continue to build on some of the foundations that the Speed's been laying lately to build closer ties with the University of Louisville. I mean, mm-hmm. they're neighbors, but they haven't historically necessarily been you know,
close partners.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So even though it makes sense sort of geographically and logistically mm-hmm. to try to connect them a little closer. So I'm excited about him. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I think that he can help keep the Speed maybe in the public's eye while the main campus is closed, which is,
that's,
you know,
a challenge.
It really is. Yeah. It is. Now they've moved down to temporary offices on East Market Street in Nulu. Mm-hmm. The building's called Speed Local. Mm-hmm. And there's a gallery there, and they've already opened one exhibit, and they're going to be doing a lot of that over the next 3 years. So hopefully, you know, there will continue to be ongoing engagement with the public, and I think that he's going to probably fill a really important role in that regard. He's starting September 3rd.
Okay. Well, look forward to seeing what he does with the Speed.
Absolutely.
Great. Aaron Keene, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.